Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. Reminding you, you listen to the Mark Steiner Show here on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And support for WEAA is provided by Starbucks, offering Starbucks handcrafted beverages. And one thing I did not mention at the top of the last hour, I want to remember somebody who was a great friend of public radio and an incredible citizen who is one of the first men, people around to have their own independent coffee store in Baltimore. In Hamden, he was a real activist in liberation movements in our community, especially out of the Catholic Church. We did a lot of shows together around the Irish movement and what happened in Northern Ireland. He was an amazing guy and a dear friend who just passed away from cancer 10 years ago. Tommy Thompson, husband of Rosemary Thompson, who joined us here the other week as we interviewed Kathy Kelly. And we just want to remember him on this day 10 years after he left us. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com. Folks, we're going to turn our attention now in this part of our program to what's happening with the Maryland State healthcare system, the glitches that have taken place. We've gotten a couple of statements here from some listeners about what their worries are and worries for people who may not have health insurance by January 1st if the present system keeps going the way it is. We'll talk about that and more with our guests. We are joined here by Marta Mossberg, visiting fellow at the Maryland Public Policy Institute, national syndicated columnist, Vinnie DeMarco, president of Maryland Citizens Health Initiative, and in a few minutes, Dr. Lawrence Brown, political activist, public health consultant, assistant professor of public health and the School of Public Health and the School of Community Health and Policy here at Morgan State University. 410-319-8888 is the number. Marta and Vinnie, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
And let's just start. Folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. I'll read some of these things that came in from some of our listeners of what they had gone through with this system. They're both very similar and both very worried that on January the 1st they and many other employed lower income people may find they have no health care. So, Marta, let's get your take first. We'll turn to Vinnie.
Okay. Well, I think in general, at the end of the day, the issue is not going to be with a website. It's going to be with the coverage itself. I mean, what's going on right now is, starting January 1st, all these small businesses are going to see that the prices for health insurance are going to skyrocket. I mean, Frank Kelly, who's head of Maryland's largest health insurance brokerage firm, said that he saw a 46% increase for a 9-person group, 34% for 31-person, and on and on. So, I mean, this law is not about whether or not you can get on through the exchange. It's about can people afford it.
Vinnie.
Well, first of all, we've already seen a lot of benefits from the Affordable Care Act in millions of Americans, hundreds of thousands. Maryland is benefiting from young people being able to stay on their parents' plans, seniors being able to afford prescription drugs a lot better, and small business getting grants to be able to afford health care and tax credits, and people be getting rebates when insurance companies are charging too much for insurance. So we've already seen lots of benefits, and we're going to see a lot more benefits. Yes, the glitches have been a problem at the federal and state level, and we wish that hadn't happened. But we just saw over the weekend Governor O'Malley say that the Maryland system is now almost where it needs to be, not quite, but almost. So people should really try again if they haven't been able to get on the system and get their insurance. Hundreds of thousands of Marylanders are going to benefit as of January 1 in several ways. Medicaid is going to be expanded for the first time to people without kids, and that's a significant benefit for over 150,000 Marylanders who have not had any kind of health care or are going to have it thanks to the Affordable Care Act. You know, we know, Mark, that over the last few years, Maryland, without the Affordable Care Act, has expanded health care to over 400,000 people, including 100,000 lower-income parents who did not have health care before and had it thanks to the O'Malley Brown's Working Families and Small Business Coverage Act of 2007. funded by a tobacco tax increase, which saved lives. And that has, we've seen, helped many thousands of Marylanders, and many thousands more are going to be helped starting next year. And we're going to see, I think, benefits to all of us over time from the Affordable Care Act.
Now, can both these things be true at the same time? Before I go back to the glitches in the system and read some of the things.
Everything I said was true, Mark.
No. What I'm saying is, it could both be true that Marta Mossberg, that we're going to see many, many more people with health care coverage that are secure in it, whether it's through Medicaid or being able to stay on their parents' health care. And we're going to see prices rise in terms of health care policies.
Well, prices are definitely going to rise, and I'm not sure that we're going to be seeing a ton more people on, other than people who are very poor, because other people are not going to be able to afford it. Those who meet those income threshold guidelines are going to be subsidized, are going to be on Medicaid. Sure, they will get coverage. But again, who's going to pay for all of this? I mean, as of last year, you know, the state said it had no structural deficit. Well, that's back again. It's $400 million right now. So I'd love to see what's going to happen when you add 150,000 more people onto the rolls. Like, who's paying for this? I just don't know where this money is going to come from without massive new tax increases, on top of the fact that you're going to be paying significantly more for health care. I mean, these are small businesses. These are not like mega businesses that you love to make fun of, like J.P. Morgan or any of the big banks or GE or something. These are 50 people, 10 people, 9 people who are probably going to have to drop people from coverage because they won't be able to afford it and hire them. And on top of that, you're also talking about raising the minimum wage in Maryland. Like, there's just so many issues going on. This isn't going to benefit everyone. This is really going to hurt people overall.
Vinny?
Well, I don't think that's true at all. And first of all, as Marta knows, a lot of the, under the Affordable Care Act, a lot of people above the Medicaid level will be getting subsidies to be able to afford health care through the exchange. And, you know, we have seen rates go up a lot lower than in the past over the last couple of years. And a lot of it is because of the Affordable Care Act. I mean, rates have been going up for decades. The old system that Marta wants you to go back to has been really
I never said that, Vinny. Did I ever say that?
And for Americans. The Affordable Care Act is going to help all of us over time, and we're going to see, as the glitches get solved and as the system gets in place, Americans and Marylanders are going to be much better off.
One of the things that I'll read you some of the things that came in there. I had a conversation with somebody I'm collaborating with on a project who talked about the impossibility of getting through to anybody who knew anything, either by phone or by on the system. He couldn't log on. He couldn't get his number accepted, and he's in real danger of not having insurance by January 1st. And then we had another listener write in. Who was, just briefly, I'll just say that she wrote about how in early October, logging into a Maryland healthcare exchange to create an account, they told her that she was eligible for a subsidy, tried to submit her application electronically, it failed, called the 800 number, spoke to an agent, and told me that to send a paper application. 3 weeks later, nobody knew what she was talking about. They said she had to go on Medicaid, sent her to another office. Then she got there, and Medicaid told her, no, you're not on Medicaid. You make too much money. She says, that's what I told you in the first place. And then they're trying to select a plan, and nobody could help her figure out what the plan was. And this is an extremely intelligent person who I know very well. And she had, as a part-time worker making $25,000, the ability to negotiate and argue, but many people don't have the time to argue this thing. And so she's saying she's very concerned that people who are that people come January 1st, especially working people of low income who do not qualify for Medicaid, are going to be left out in the cold because nobody seems to know what they're doing, and people will lose the coverage that they have.
Well,
right, and that's when you look at what's going on.
It's been, a lot of that has been fixed. And,
not as of last night, anyway.
But no, it's still not fixed. I mean, I think from the get-go, when you look, you know, to look at how Anthony Brown, Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, has handled the situation, the fact that the son could get no emails between him and the people running the exchange. Like, he was much more intent on taking credit for it than he was on actually making sure that it worked. I mean, he won an award from Governing Magazine for his leadership on rolling out the health care exchange, you know, while all this was imploding around him. I mean, it's, to me, these people, even the ones who believe in it, who wanted to implement it first, were not taking care of this. What does that say about the capability of government to run something so complex as healthcare? I don't think it speaks well for it.
This is not about politics. This is about helping people.
And it is about politics.
We have over 400,000 Marylanders under this administration since 2007 who didn't have health care or had poor access to health care now have the health care they need. Yes, this has been troubled rollout here, but what we need is to reach the goal of 150,000 non-Medicaid and 100,000 Medicaid by March 31st. And we at Marylanders, the Prevent Maryland Citizens Health Initiative, are committed to achieving that goal. And we've got plans on how to get the message out. And we hope MARTA and everybody else will roll up their sleeves and let's get the message out that people should take advantage of this. And that's what our goal is, not to point fingers and do things like that, but to really help people as this law is going to do. 150,000 people out there are going to be also. And note this, Mark, 77,000 people, despite the glitches, 77,000 Marylanders have formed accounts. And now that the system is working better, they can use those accounts to get the health care they need with the subsidies, if they're eligible for those. And 100,000 people are going to be rolled into Medicaid immediately on January 1 for previous programs. So there are a lot of good things happening. Problems, yes, but a lot of good things happening that we're going to build on.
So Lawrence Brown's getting in the studio now. Lawrence, why don't you leap into this?
Well, from a progressive standpoint, you know, it is about helping people, but it is also about politics. The problem with the flawed rollout of the plan is that it makes progressives look bad, to be quite honest. You know, if we had have gone to the single payer system, Medicare for all, you would have already had the infrastructure set up. People would have been able to join a system that's working for millions and millions of people already. And you wouldn't have had this botched rollout that we have right now. You know, but the other element is of the discussion that I'm hearing is that it's bad when government does it. But it's actually the private companies that were brought on board that were contracted with the state that were taking, you know, the one of the persons that took a 7-day vacation in the middle of this plan or in the middle of the rollout instead of fixing the website. So it's not so much that government fails, private industry fails. That's why we needed a reform. But by doing it in the way that we've done it in this country, where we're trying to maintain the insurance company's involvement in something as critical and as essential as healthcare, we've actually made it really convoluted and complicated. And I think that's a part of the political issue that needs to be addressed, because it actually makes the process of having life-saving health insurance much more complicated than it needs to be.
Well, you know, it's this program, if anything, is a government program. Obamacare is a government program. It doesn't matter that private contractors were hired to put things together. I mean, they weren't the ones who voted for this law. So the government was in charge, and obviously,
but they're the ones benefiting from this law.
Was not managing as they should have to make sure that this exchange worked. I mean, the fact that President Obama would say recently that he was not informed, or you know, he wouldn't go out and promote this as if it was going to work like Amazon or Travelocity, if he knew that it was working well. It's like, well, why didn't you know it wasn't working well? Why aren't you in charge? Why aren't you acting like a leader? I mean, why is Anthony Brown getting an award from Governing Magazine instead of actually making sure that the insurance, the site works?
Right.
I mean,
that's why I actually agree with you that they deserve criticism. But from a progressive standpoint, the criticism is that that they're propping up the private industry. And that is what is causing the problem. Instead of benefiting from scales of economy and the system that you already have in place that people love, Medicare, that's what should have been done, and we did not do that. And so we're experiencing all these issues.
Well, President Obama deserves a lot of credit for rolling up his sleeves and making things happen. As he said, by the end of November, most people can access the federal system well, and that's happening. And I think he deserves a lot of credit. He deserves a lot of credit for being the first president to get something like this done since Teddy Roosevelt first tried, and the millions and millions of Americans who are going to benefit from this law are going to be the ones who are going to say that it was a great thing that President Obama took this lead, and Governor O'Malley, Lieutenant Governor Brown here are dealing with the problems, not getting involved in this finger pointing, but dealing with the problems and handling it. And you know, we talked with a woman in Western Maryland who told us how, because of the Medicaid expansion that was enacted in 2008, funded by tobacco tax under the O'Malley-Brown administration, her life was saved. her life was saved because she got that Medicaid card. And now many, many thousands more Marylanders are going to have their lives saved. And this is good progress for Maryland and America.
Well, you know, Vinny, you've talked to people whose lives are going to be saved. There's many people who are going to lose their lives, as has been chronicled across the national media. I mean, there's plenty of people who no longer have access to top cancer hospitals, for example, as a result of Obamacare, in order to hold prices down. I mean, there are many consequences to this law, including the fact that because this is going to raise prices so much on small businesses, you're going to see people who are going to lose their coverage and lose their doctors, lose the care that they wanted, that they liked, even if it's substandard, as according to Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown. But
they were receiving
more than adequate care from.
We have seen rates not go up as fast over the last couple of years, and a lot of it because of the Affordable Care Act. Rates have always been going up, unfortunately, under the system we all don't like. We have now a system that's going to do something about it, and let's try to make it work and not undermine it. From the left or right, shouldn't be attacking it, should be working with us to get it working.
One of the things that I think that a couple of things here. I think I'm going to be able to do much more to kind of say that people are going to be dying of cancer because of the Affordable Health Care Act. But I do think that there are issues that because of the way the act's written. I mean, like let's say in another state, New Hampshire, that I was reading about just the other day, they only have one company, and that company has decided not to cover anything at 10 different hospitals in a very small state. And Gene Ransom wrote a piece this morning, who's the executive director of MedCHI, about the problems with the insurance companies getting in the way of doctors prescribing the medicines that they and their patients want them to have. So instead of having a government bureaucrat say, you know, you can't have medicine, you have some corporate bureaucrat telling you can't have his medicine. So, I mean, these are the kind of things that I think that worry people about the future. I think that, I mean, the computer glitches themselves will probably get resolved.
Right, of course
right?
They will.
Mm-hmm. They'll be resolved.
That's fixable. The bigger issue is the law itself and how that's going to impact people.
And we're going to see many benefits from that law. And when we're back in a year talking, we can document all the benefits, just like from the 2008 Medicaid expansion.
Right.
Well, I think the politics of this does matter. When you have O'Malley and Brown, who are positioning themselves as progressives, and in fact, they're not taking care of business as it relates to being accountable for the ACA being rolled out in a responsible way. It does make people question the nature of what progressivism is all about. And so I do think that from a standpoint of being accountable, you know, being transparent, that we do need to be concerned and hold these elected officials accountable in terms of how this was rolled out. Where were they in terms of making sure this was done? I mean, this is the signature legislation of President Barack Obama. How is it that people couldn't make sure that the website was functioning? And, I mean, that's a serious question.
I think the question is a question, and Vinny, and you can jump back into this, and Marta as well, obviously. But, you know, that there were 16 states in Washington, D.C. that decided to have their own exchanges. Maryland was one of the first to jump out of the box with it. So we became this kind of light for this in terms of this kind of work. $7 million was spent. I think maybe another $37 million, $40 million is left to be spent. So, I mean, don't you think that someone in Lieutenant Governor Brown's office, at the very least, Vinny, should be answering questions about why it didn't work?
I want them to roll up their sleeves to make it work. And let's see March after the enrollment period is over. Let's see how close we come to our goals. Let's see how they make it work. The woman who's now the head of the Maryland Health Connection, Carolyn Kondracki, is terrific. She is someone who's going to help make it happen. I think the goal should not be what happened on October 1st, but what happens between now and March 31st to get as many people enrolled as possible, and that's what we're going to be focused on.
But you do want to make sure that people are enrolled by March 31st,
yes.
But one thing that's true about medical care and health care is that whole interaction is built on trust. Patient trust in the provider and patient trust in the healthcare system. By not rolling this out in an accountable and responsible way, what is being threatened is the very core of the foundation of patient health care system, patient provider interaction. And so that's the thing that we have to be honest about, because plenty of people who are uninsured are not able to, or actually delay care They're not as engaged with their medical care because trust has been hurt and harmed in many ways. So I think to not address the real issue of accountability and the issue of trust is to do this a real disservice. And I think we need to be much more responsible with this.
This is a huge blow to the Progressive brand. I mean, when was it in, I think it was in September, there was this huge cushy piece on O'Malley in Washingtonian Magazine. I think that called him the best manager in the country. I mean, that's what he's been about, is being the best manager. And yet here we have an example where this completely fell apart, and Maryland was an example meant to be held up to the rest of the nation about how progressive politics works and why it's so good and why it should be adopted by the rest of the nation. And look at what's happened. It's one of the worst in the states.
The test of a good manager is someone who deals with problems and fixes them and is able to handle hard problems that come up.
Right, Vinny, but you can't just look forward all the time like progressives want to. You have to figure out
what's going on. One at a time. Vinny, finish.
Let me finish. We're going to see what happens between now and March 31st, as governor, lieutenant governor, and their team roll up their sleeves to make this happen. We're going to be working with them and rooting for them to work, and I hope you're not rooting for it not to work, because we want this to be good for the people of Maryland, and that's what our goal is, and we're all working to make that happen.
But one of the things I have to ask him, I think I would like to see it work. I mean, I have my issues with ACA, but I like to see it work. So I want people to have their health care, and I want things to be easy. But when states like Kentucky, California, New York, two states that are much larger than us, California and New York, more complex than Maryland, had a rollout that seems to be working, that have at least outperformed the federal site and clearly outperforming our state. Are we taking lessons from that? You know, I mean, don't people in Maryland have the right to know what went wrong it's not just good enough to say, okay, well, it'll be fixed by March, but a lot of money was spent.
Exactly.
Yeah, we need to find out what happened. I don't want to spend time on that now. There's plenty of time for that. Let's spend all our time now on making this work so that people can get enrolled. And that's what we're doing. Like, we did these.
But there's no reason why we couldn't do two things at once. In a democracy, the foundation of democracy is citizens' trust in their government. And again, I think Marta's right. This is damaging the progressive brand, and people who care about progressive values need to be speaking up and holding Brown and O'Malley accountable, because we don't want progressive viewpoint to be viewed as one where you talk about the right things, but you can't do things the right way. And so there's no reason why we can't make sure that things like this don't happen again, that we understand the process of how this happened in the first place, because this is not the only area where a public-private partnership has gone awry. You look at EBDI, you look at Harbor Point, you look at O'Malley talking about his tough on crime city stat issues. They've been wrong on so many areas that my concern is that they're really progressives in sheep clothing. And that's why they're doing damage to the brand, because they're not really progressives at all. They're really corporate sponsors.
The progressive brand is going to do very well when this works by March 31st. The progressive brand is going to do very well as the public health brand. That's what I'm most interested in. I'm most interested in the public health benefits to hundreds of thousands of Marylanders who are eligible, and we're working every day to make them. We've got radio ads going on with top prominent football players saying to people to call 211 to get the health care they need. Those ads are running now. We're going to be doing more things like that. We are working to make sure every Marylander who is eligible benefits, just like the 100,000 parents who benefited so much from the Medicaid expansion of 2008.
We have to take a break here, but this has been an interesting conversation, as it always is. Marta Marsberg, it's always great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Mark. It was fun.
Always. Dr. Lawrence Brown, great to have you in the studio. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, sir.
And Vinny DeMarco, always good to have you with us as well.
Thank you, Mark. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a brief break. On the way out, we're going to hear You Make Me Feel Really Real, Sylvester, anniversary of his death today, playing him as we go out. Coming back with Sister Marsha Hall of the Oblate Sisters, talking about the canonization of the founder of that order. Stay with us. We'll be right back.